This subject right here, supervising and training your next counselors, really comes from a couple of different areas. One is I get this question a lot. People are asking me, hey, who do you look for as your next counselor? And then Dr. Bob Smith was a person who supervised counselors for years and years here at Faith. But now that Doc Smith is getting older, that is transitioning more and more to me. And so that also is one of the reasons why this session is the way it is. In fact, I decided to go ahead and pursue ACBC fellow status, which I have, in part to help our counselors receive that kind of training. And then I'm on the constant lookout for people to add to our team. Constant lookout. And so that is an initiative that I have as one of the pastors here every single year. And I would suspect that many of you who are having good counseling ministries growing right now, you're doing that very same thing. Every single year, you're saying, who am I going to train next? 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 Because I realize that the supply is far less than the demand. There are more people in our areas who need counseling than we have counseling hours available to help them. And so we have a supply issue, not a demand issue. Now, I'm going to go over these first two parts really quickly because I think these two parts are kind of they're the easy parts of the lecture, and then we're going to spend the vast majority of our time just thinking about supervision skills. What do I want a counselor to have before we're ready to cut them loose? So first of all, identifying individuals for counseling training, identifying them. You know, I believe that track one is for every human being, don't you? I mean, that's just bread and butter, personal ministry, relational wisdom kind of stuff. It's just everybody has to have that. But by the time we get here, we're thinking more and more about formal counseling, right? What happens in track one is people come and they're going to go back and be small group leaders, and they're going to go back and be children's ministry workers, and they're just going to go back and do their normal stuff. And then some of us decide, wow, I think God really wants us to do something more than that. And so we decide to pursue more because we believe that God wants us in formal counseling. And so how do I move from this big picture, everybody needs this, to now I need a few who are willing to work at this detailed kind of level? Garrett Higbee, when he was at Harvest, used to talk about all of the sevens he had. So he wanted 7,000 people to go through the first level training. He wanted 700 small group leaders. He wanted 70 individual counselors. And he wanted 7 people able to do intensives. The idea was, as you got more and more intense in the counseling problem, I need fewer and fewer people, but I also need the more and more the right person. I need everybody engaged so that there is general small group everyday street-level counseling going on, but then I also need some individuals who are willing to do a whole lot more than that. So here's just a few passages of Scripture that I like to use and think through before I'm approaching somebody. Track one, everybody comes. After track one, I'm thinking more along the lines of, who do I want on the counseling team? Of all the people that are here, of all the people that are actually taking this kind of material, who do I want serving in some of these very specific roles, like at Vision of Hope, or at the men's ministry called Restoration, or in our Monday training? Who do I want to be in there? Well, Galatians 6, 1-7, you who are spiritual, define in Galatians chapter 5 to describe a person who walks by the Spirit. They have a desire for this kind of ministry. We're not talking them into it. We're saying, hey, is this something that you have a desire for? Because quite frankly, the easy part is getting the training and doing the exams, right? We don't tell people that. But you all and I know it. That's the easy part. The hard part is actually sitting down and counseling over and over and over again. And the hard part is when somebody who you have poured your heart out to decides to blast the fire out of you. The hard part is when you are talking to a couple of teenagers whose parents have decided that they don't love the Lord, they don't love each other. That's the hard part. You and I have been there. We know that's the hard part. The easy part, go to training, go to a conference, piece of cake. Do the exams, little bit harder, not exactly piece of cake, little bit harder, but a whole lot easier than the hardships that come with the ministry. So I'm looking for people who are going to fit that kind of character. 1 Timothy 3, we know the qualifications for those who are in leadership. And so we're looking for individuals who are going to satisfy these, or at least would say, if I don't satisfy them today, I want to satisfy them. Even if I'm not there yet, I want to be there. I want to be this kind of person. In 2 Timothy 2, we're told that we are to rightly divide the word of truth. That's how we become approved. So we want people who are going to join our counseling ministry team as those who are students of God's word. We don't want them to ever get to the place where they believe that their well is deep enough. We as counselors, we want people, we don't have to have the same well, but we want our counselors to say, I need my well to go deeper. I need my well to go deeper. I need my well to go deeper because I recognize there's going to be another case that walks through that door at some point that is going to press into how much biblical knowledge I actually have. I need to at least be a student of the word and a growing student of it. I want to know that I rightly divide the word of truth. But then James 4, 6. Knowing the difference between pride and humility. Arrogant counselors will hurt your ministry. Arrogant counselors will hurt your ministry. Because if they start getting a little bit too big for their britches, guess what happens? All their counselees start calling you. And you start learning all sorts of things about your counselors that you didn't actually know were going on. Because people start saying, hey, look, here's what one of your counselors did. Now, I don't run to that, right? Because I've been around people enough to know that once somebody gets a burr in their saddle, I mean, they will destroy anybody over it. But on the other hand, what happens if you get five phone calls about the same person? What does that tell you? Maybe there's a pattern here. Maybe there's something here that needs to change. We don't need prideful counselors. What we need is we need humble counselors. Because we understand that every change is a result of God's grace working in that person's life, not my wonderful counseling skill. So I want my counselor saying, I know I need to grow and I'm dependent on the Lord every single step of the way, not acting like, okay, I've got this. I've counseled 25,000 of these kind of cases before. I'm ready for this one too. So are they that kind of person? Are they that kind of willing, humble servant that says, Lord, I need you every day and I need you to work? You know that song, Lord, I need you, every hour I need you? You know, sometimes that's not how we function. We function like, Lord, I need you in the hours that I can't do it myself. Not, Lord, I need you every hour. Then the second issue relates to our practical needs. So we're looking for humble students of the word who possess the character to minister to other people in and out of our church. Then the other issue is practical needs. What are some of the practical needs? You know, sometimes we have, and so does your ministry, we have very specific needs that we are seeking to fill. One of the issues we have right now is we have more ladies who are asking for counseling than we have lady counselors to care for them. It's hard. It's a task. And so therefore, one of the things that I'm looking for is the next lady and the next lady and the next lady and the next lady, because I don't want them waiting over and over and over again. And at the same time, if we have 22-year-old girls at Purdue University who are struggling with some sort of sexual issue, I really don't want to put them with the guys. Isn't that right? That's not really going to be helpful for them. And it could be damaging. And so I'm not interested in that. I want to be sure that we're caring for those people with ladies. So sometimes it's just the need of the ministry. I was speaking to a guy just a couple weeks ago, and in his church, it's completely the opposite. He's got lady counselors galore. I was like, hey, send some my way. I could use them. But he said, my problem is I don't have any men. So I have a waiting list of 30 people waiting for marriage counseling, and I'm the only one who can do it. It's So he says, I'm just telling people, I mean, I don't know when I'll get to you.